Welcome to the Coaching Ignited podcast. I'm your host, Alex Povey. It's great to have you here. This show is all about peeling back the curtain on what's going to help you build the fitness business you truly want. And each week we bring on a new guest to share their stories, insights, and strategies so you too can take action and apply what you learn. The podcast is released every Wednesday on all the major platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you go give that a subscribe, guys. Now, if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so you can connect with me there. Now let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy the show. Hey, what is up? Welcome back to another episode of the CI Podcast. This is going to be a good one for you if you write a lot of content, if you do social media posts, you write captions on IG, you've got an email list, or you want to write better content. So make sure you tune into this one, maybe get a pen and paper, because we're going to dive into some copywriting and marketing skills with Joey Persia. He's the author of the acclaimed book, Why Do You Hate Money? And that's a fitness marketing guide to create content that kills and converts. So this is specifically for fit pros, personal trainers, coaches in the health space. So that's really his area of expertise when it comes to copywriting. So this is going to be perfect for you guys. Joey is a former fitness professional turned copywriter himself as well. And now he's moved more into marketing consultant along with his copywriting expertise. And yeah, he's worked with a lot of high profile people and he is very respected in the marketing space. So we're going to get into this in just a second, but I just want to give you a quick update. For those of you who have been following along, you will know that I committed to doing all the Tough Mudders in the UK this year, but unfortunately they've gone into administration. They're declaring bankruptcy, and yeah, doesn't look like the Tough Mudder events are going to be going ahead anymore, which is not ideal, right? Sometimes life knocks you back and things don't go according to plan. And so I had to pivot and I've come up with a series of new events to tackle up and down the country. So I just posted these on my social media a couple of days ago. I'm super pumped to be doing these different events that I've managed to piece together. So if you want to find out more about those events and what I'm doing, make sure we're connected on either IG, Alex C. Povey, or on Facebook. That's Alex Povey on Facebook as well. I'm doing this for Mentel Charity. I want to raise 20K for Mentel, who basically offer support to men specifically who are suffering with depression or suicidal thoughts, and they're doing some amazing work in the northwest of England. So super excited to be supporting those guys. Amazing cause, and I'm a big advocate of mental health. So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode with Joey Persia.
All right, so we're back with another episode, and we've got Joey Persia back on. We did do take one of this probably before Christmas. Can't even remember when it was now. But we had to go again due to some tech issues, and super pumped to bring Joey back on because he's got a wealth of experience when it comes to copywriting and business. And he's going to share some really cool stuff with us today. And me and Joey were just joking because where you can see him now is this used to be his office, but now it's turned into his newborn's office. So he's lost the man cave, and he's battling sleepless nights being a dad, but I just want to congratulate you on that before we dive into this, man.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. That's nah, very kind of you.
I'm very, very envious of, not the sleepless nights, but just welcoming someone. I'm sure it's awesome.
It's just the trade-off. It'll be all right.
Yeah. You just got to get through the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
and you'll everyone's be okay. Different,
so we'll see what happens. Yeah. Like I said, we had a good win last night, so maybe that'll it was either her giving us a break or she's figuring out how to navigate this new world.
That's good. And then you'll treasure those really good nights as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you don't get a good night, you'll really, really appreciate those good nights. So let's dive into this so that you can get back to family life in a second. And I just want to make it super valuable for the guys that are listening, but I also want to create some context as to who you are and what you do as well, just to kind of set the tone for this podcast. So yeah, tell us how you got into what you do and what is it you actually do, Joey?
Yeah, so what I do now is I wear a few different hats, but essentially I just help people sell their offers. So in some cases, a lot of cases now, they're higher ticket offers. So coaching, masterminds, events, and all that good stuff. And yeah, I just help on the sales side of things. So all the written words. So we do what most people know of as copywriting. So the whole copywriting and marketing side of things. But my main focus when we're doing that stuff, I cut my teeth in this world in the copywriting world. And I came from a fitness background, coached for a really long time. And then I found this copywriting and marketing world. So for a while, I just wrote copy. Over the last year plus has been, copy is still a big part of it. But what I've found and realized and noticed and discovered was the importance is actually there's other things that are extremely important that go into selling offers. And my focus now goes a little bit more around the offer, not necessarily the specific words that are selling it. So copy is still a huge part of what we do, but it's more focused on the offer and just making better, more compelling offers and just like kind of repositioning stuff that way.
Mm. I'd love to unpack both things. So like the copywriting and the offers and why those things are so important. But like, let's just try and bring it back to maybe a personal trainer or like a fitness business owner, because you've got a book, right? Which is a great place for people to start if they want to learn about copywriting skills, specifically for fitness, right, Joey?
Yeah. The book, it's called Why Do You Hate Money? And it's all copywriting and marketing. And yeah, it's based around health and fitness. It's obviously can be applied to other industries, but like a lot of the examples that I use and all that stuff, it was based more around health, fitness stuff.
Yeah. So coaching, I'd like to
products. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to dive into that because a lot of the listeners will be coaches, personal trainers. And for those guys, I get messages all the time about people with their social media and what content should I post and what should I put out there. And it's more than just like training videos and pictures of yourself, like bench pressing in the gym or taking booty shots. Like you can get way more strategic with it when you apply good copy or good text, if anyone doesn't know what copy is, right? Yeah. But why is it important and what is the kind of benefit to copywriting in your posts with your social media, maybe in your campaigns? What can that do to your business?
Grow it a lot. So for everyone has like their own definitions of copywriting and marketing and sales and all that stuff. When I got into, like, I didn't know what copywriting was when I had my in-person and my online coaching business. Like I didn't know what it was. I was quote unquote doing it, but I didn't know what it was. And I just like to break it down as it's just the words you use to communicate something. So some people will say they'll separate content and copy, and content is more like there's not really a strategic like sales or action involved oriented thing in there. I don't even care necessarily to like separate the two. For people who are just like getting into it or figure, I'm just like, yeah, copy is just, it's the words. Now it can be used more like direct response stuff where you're like getting an action and doing all that stuff. But I like to just think it's the message that you're using to communicate something with someone else. I like to think copy is, it's verbal as well. If it's me and you talking, like that can be construed as copy, because what, you can just write that down and that can be used to communicate a message too, right? It's you open, you get a direct mail piece, you know, what's written is copy. So that's just how I like to break things down. But yeah, I mean, any decision someone makes in life is like, there's some sort of, there's persuasion and decision making that goes into like everything, right? Like you wanting to eat at a certain place, you just asking your spouse to do something, you know, kind of trying to get your friends to go to a place you like a little bit more than they like. So there's, that's all, it all falls under this umbrella of learning how to communicate a message the right way. So like it can do work wonders to grow your business. And it, you also don't have to become like this world-class copywriter marketer. It's just more so about understanding some really important principles and just paying a little bit more attention, like just being aware, and you can get really good really fast and grow your business, you know, way easier than if you're just not aware of like what goes into the stuff that makes things sell and makes people take action and makes people buy.
I'd love to just dive into kind of like what makes compelling copy. Is there like certain ingredients that go into it, like baking a cake, that makes it taste good, so that when we're reading it, it's like, ooh, yeah, I like that, versus just like words? Because there's a difference, right, between words and a good cake and a bad cake. What ingredients do we put in there, Joey?
Yeah. So that's, you can uncover the whole cookbook, right? So like it's a bunch of different things. And if we got like go into specific, like we can go into specific things, but I think the, I'm trying to think like the overarching themes that you're going to want in those messages is specifics. So instead of talking about like vague generalities, the words that you're using are specific to the person that's reading, right? Like that's why people talk about knowing like your customer avatar and all that stuff. And they'll generally start with an age and a name and like all that stuff, which that stuff's okay. But where you get into like the really good stuff, the stuff that's gonna like hit home for people, it's more about knowing what problems that they're having now, the stuff that's happening in their life now that they don't want to happen anymore, that they basically want to move away from. Their values is huge. Like I think that is a really, I think a lot of people miss values when it comes to making their like messaging and offers more compelling. It's they don't hit on any of that stuff. And a lot of people make decisions based on values. Not everyone does. People do, but some of their values may be very different. But I think that's a big missing piece for a lot of people. So when it comes to writing, it's important to know who you're writing to, that your message is specific and that your message is clear. So when I think it's clear, it's just specificity goes into being clear, but so does just like it being easy to read, right? Like you're not trying to write like you were writing a research paper when you were in college. Like it's
or Shakespeare.
That's the biggest thing about in general copy is like, it good copy is conversational. It's like you and I were having this conversation. It doesn't feel like robotic. It doesn't feel disingenuous. It feels like we're talking and this is the way this conversation is going, as opposed to a big struggle that a lot of people have is writing how they were taught in school, especially if they weren't avid readers and writers, and they just did it because they had to in school. You kind of just take on those habits. And a lot of those habits are like robotic writing. There's no emotion in that.
No, I see it in your copywriting, in your like posts on Facebook and stuff. It's very, like you said, conversational. It's like chatty. It's not it's not like an assignment or like a polished email. It's just, I don't know, it's just like very, I can hear Joey.
Yeah.
I can hear him and how he says things, not just reading the words. I can kind of hear you. If that makes sense.
Which is that's actually a really good point. In terms of like using copy and content to grow your business, that's like your personality is like a really big part of that, right? It doesn't even have to be, this is more on the content side. It doesn't have to be like everything you put out doesn't have to be related to, if you're a fat loss coach, it doesn't have to be related to fat loss, right? Like people connect with people for other reasons. In general, in most cases, people connect for other reasons, not because of what you do. Like you become friends with someone, it's more along the lines of other things that you like about them. You played a sport when you were younger, like the same sport, especially if there's like a weird, unique thing. You're like, holy shit, you did that. Or you went to the same school, or you grew up in this place. You used to vacation here when you were young. Like all of those things go into like your favorite TV shows. Like that all that stuff goes into like a brand and a personality. And the more you can bring that into just in general, like writing, the better. When it gets to more like specific direct response stuff, you can still use that. It's just not as heavy on the personality side. You'll still like still speak to them conversationally. But yeah, it's like that's kind of where the two worlds collide. But personality is huge. You want people to say what you just said and just be like, yeah, I can hear you. Like, I can hear, like, it feels like we're talking. You're like, awesome. That's good.
I love it when someone comments on my post and goes, oh, I can hear you saying that. Because then I'm like, I said it right. And I'm clearly getting my, like, feeling or emotion across it just in the words. And so I'm personally aiming for that. What's always intrigued me is, and I don't know for sure, and you'll probably be able to help me with this and the audience, is it better, and there's probably no hard and fast rule for this, but is it better to position your post with like lots of pain and the negativity of someone's current situation to create hope to get out of it? Or do you just paint a picture of the positive situation that they'd want to be in? Do you see what I mean? Versus going like really negative and, oh, are you struggling? You're feeling like this, you're in this position, being like really negative.
Yep.
And then if you want to get out of it, like message me or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you've got another one where it's like, hey, do you want X? Do you want this? Do you want that? What do you think is better, if there is anything better at all? Does it depend on the market? What's the variables? Like, what's your take on that?
Yeah. That's a really good question. I think, and a question that, or a situation that a lot of people kind of have trouble with. So in general, people will take action. It's easier for them to take action to get out of a pain than to move towards pleasure. That's just generally like how we do things. Like there's a saying of, you know, something of like people change when the pain of staying the same is greater than whatever. Like there's that saying. So in general, that's the idea, right? Is pain is more, moves people more. The thing is, a lot of people feel uncomfortable with that. And I believe the reason that is,
you mean the copywriter or the person writing it?
The person writing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is actually something that I struggled with too. Like I liked to do the more like the vision of the future better. Cause I'm like, well, why don't you want this shit? Right. Like all of this stuff is going to be so good. And it just feels better of like, yeah, look at all this stuff. Or, you know, all these feelings and all these things. But people just, they don't take like that action. Like they don't take as easily. So, I think when you're talking about pain, this makes it better for both the person writing and the person receiving the writing, is there's this overarching theme that in general, you want to be coming from a nurturing place and not a critical place. So one of the easiest ways, there's two easy ways to do that. One is when you're talking about pain and like some kind of tough shit, is to use stories. So you're not saying, do you feel like this? Because one, that doesn't feel like, that's not, it doesn't feel real anyway. Like when people just list off, do you feel like this? Do you feel like this? Are you struggling with this? It's just like, eh. Like I see that everywhere on the internet. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's not, it doesn't hit home. So if you use stories to basically paint that picture of a shitty situation that's happening now, if we can link the situation that you're having, if I can tell a story about someone that was exactly like, that was going through similar stuff, it allows you to talk about stuff that makes people feel uncomfortable, but that would make people feel uncomfortable if you're talking directly to them. So I'm not saying you are dealing with this, and if you don't change, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and you should feel like a piece of shit. Like, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about James, who had all of these things. And as you're reading, you're going like, oh, I had that too. Or like, oh, that's something that I'm dealing with. And when you talk about that story, right, you say like, this is the current stuff that's going on. Here's basically what happened, what James did and all this stuff. And then like, here's where James is now. That person thinks like, oh, okay, that's something that's like that's going through with me, or that I'm going through. If I get this thing or do this thing, then I could potentially like be where James is at, which is where I want to be. That's why it's so important knowing the like matching the like your avatars, and like, you know, that's why it's so important to know that stuff, because you use stories that match up. Mm. The other thing is being specific about like problems or things that are happening. So I like to think about using this as like, think about using symptoms as opposed to like problems. So symptoms would be things that you can see, feel, hear, taste, and touch, right? It's like senses. And when you just point out specific symptoms, there's not like judgment attached to that word. It's like, is this thing happening? If it is, then there's just like, the person's like, yeah, that's happening, right? They're not like, when you say, you know, are you feeling tired? One, it's not specific. Like, tired can mean anything. But if you were to say something like, one of the best ways to get it is if someone were to say like, I'm tired. Like, okay, like what, you know, how do you know you're tired? And some, they'll give a specific example, right? Like, oh, around like, you know, 1 o'clock every day, I crash at work and I just don't want, like, I can't think anymore. That's a symptom. That's like a specific thing that you can talk about. And it's not, there's no, this is good or bad. This is just a thing that's happening.
Factual. It's factual.
Yeah. It's facts. It's like, that's just something. And there's not judgment around, are you dealing with this? It's like, if you're tired, if you're at 1 o'clock every afternoon, you crash and you can't get work done for the rest of the day, someone's going to be like, yeah, that's fucking me. They're not just like, am I tired? Or is the fact that I'm doing like dealing with this bad or good? Like, you know, those are the two things I think that really help with being able to use the pain side of things, which people take more action for, but not coming from like a critical or a like a vague general way. And you can absolutely still use the vision of the good stuff, right? The you know, the outcomes that they want. I think that's great. But in general, people move more towards they take action more towards the stuff that they don't currently want to deal with. I like to think of it as present pains, right? Mm. Like present things. Mm.
Yeah, so like basically what you're talking about is the hero's journey.
Yeah.
To a degree where it's like current situation, not so good. Mm-hmm. And then they meet a guide, maybe it's a coach, personal trainer. They go through some struggles, trials, tribulations, having to change X, Y, and Z. Oh, and then in 2-3 months' time, they get to this position over here, which is kind of the desired situation of the current audience down here who are in the bad situation. And so they can see the transformation. So you're just painting a picture of a transformation using a third party versus pitching directly at the audience. And you find that that is the most compelling way to talk negatively without being too negative, because it's not directed at that person, but it is indirectly directed at the person.
Because one of the most powerful ways that we can, like, so we can get someone to come to the conclusion that, you know, you working with me is going to help you get that result. I can tell you that. I can twist your arm and try everything, every little trick and tactic I know to try and get you to like, I could just keep telling you, like, no, this is what you need. Like, or I can tell you things that are going to help you come to that conclusion. And if you've ever argued with anybody in the history of your life, you know that when people come to their own conclusion, it's way more powerful, right? Like, people like that, that is just, if you can just set things up in a way that gets someone to come to their own conclusion, it's way easier for them to take action. That's not always the easiest. Sometimes you can say it. It's not like you can't say it, but it's the most powerful if they connect two and two. So what I like to try and do is like get everything, like get that as close as I can, like the befores, the afters, like give tons of proof and results and stories, and like get it's so easy for them to make the connection that they're just like, oh yeah. Okay. That's like, that's the thing I need. Not just like, you need it because of this, and this, and this. And if you don't do it, and you're stupid, and you know, like shit like that.
Yeah. And this is like a great template for personal trainers listening, coaches, for their testimonials and their case studies, is going on that journey, that the hero's journey, the current situation, the middle bit, the changes, the struggles, and then the desired situation where people can resonate with it and see themselves in the journey. And you're telling a real life story as well. So it's more real and it's more relatable versus just info. It's like transformation versus information. Yeah.
And I love the word transformation. Because like for that very reason. So like, I think a very simple way to think about single post in general and like overall is, like we just talked about, there's this current thing, this like hell, this shitty situation. It doesn't have to be crazy, right? It's just things that they don't like, the things that they want to change. There's this current thing, and then there's this cool thing, this thing that they want, and there's just this gap between the two. And you want to like make it clear that your offer, like your, you know, your product, your service, your whatever, is the thing in the middle that's going to get them there. Like, that's pretty much it. So if you're talking about it in a single post, you can talk about one symptom, and like, this is the, like that one symptom is the hell side of things, right? And then what's the opposite of that? Like, what's the vision of it, right? Like, what's the thing that they want? This is where they're at now. Like, where do they want to go on that side? And then you, something needs to bridge that gap for them.
Yeah. Watch Lord of the Rings, guys, because that's a good example of this journey with, you've got Frodo, he gets the ring. It's like, the world's falling apart. There's loads of wars. Then he meets Gandalf. Gandalf is the guy to get him to Mordor to try and throw the ring in the volcano. And it's that journey that you're going on. And it's the same when you put a post together, which is what Joey's saying. What I'd like to unpack is the offer side of thing, because you said two things. Like, one, the copy was what you thought was like really important, and it was for a long time. And then you realized, oh, actually, the offer is just as important as the copy, if not more important, if I heard you say it correctly. Yeah. But what do you mean by that? What do you mean about the offer? What does the offer mean? And why is that so important, Joey?
The offer is many different things, but essentially it's like, if someone were to think okay, I'm going to give you, I actually think I used this the other day in a post. It's like, you have this bottle of water and you're like, the bottle of water is $5. And I'm just like, cool. Like, that's your offer, right? It's like, if I give you $5, I get this bottle of water back. So in the simplest terms, the offer is someone thinks, okay, I give you this, I get this. Doesn't have to be money. It can also be like time, energy,
yeah,
you know, any of that stuff, right? If it's about your fitness program, it could be a price, but it could also be a certain amount of sessions a week, right? So there's like, oh, okay, I give you $1,000. That's four sessions a week that I have to, like, that's part of what goes into that, them having to give, to put into it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I like to think of an offer in a very general terms. I give you this, I get this. Now there's lots of different things that can go into making an offer better. There's, so I'll go over my, I have a offer pyramid, essentially, right?
We're back to the cake mix. This is
if there's a five layer cake, it's essentially the same five layers, right? So, and basically it's like, these are set up with what I've found or what I believe are the most important things. So at the bottom, the first layer is relevant. So your offer, what that means is simply your offer has to be relevant to your market, right? Like, if you're offering me a bottle of water and I am drowning in water, like, I don't want that shit. Like, that's not relevant at all. Or not even that. If I'm in the market, like, I don't want water, I want food. Like, it's not relevant. So there needs to be a match between your offer and the market, right? The mm-hmm. your appetite. There has to be need or desire there. So we have relevant. The next one is value driven. So there has to be some sort of inherent value that the person sees in it. And what I like to look at that is like there's a return. There needs to be a return on an investment, and that doesn't have to be money. It can be energy. It can be effort. So someone just think in terms of, if I'm going to give you $5, like, what I get back has to be worth more to me than $5. If I have to give you 4 hours, if I have to give you $1,000 and 4 hours of my week, the result that I'm going to get in return needs to be worth more than $1,000 and 4 hours of my week. Mm-hmm. Right. So there needs to be some ROI. And basically I just look at an ROI of like, the input has to be greater than the output. What I put in has to be greater than what I want out. Mm-hmm. And then the third layer is unique and urgent. So urgent in the sense of, it should be a decision that this person should make now. That doesn't necessarily needs to be like a time deadline or a limited number of spots. It could just be an urgent problem that someone would want to solve now. If someone's getting ready for a wedding, right? If you work with the brides, like, their wedding day is an urgent thing that they want. Like, that's a deadline, a hard deadline that they should be wanting to take action for before. So that's an inherently urgent inside. And then the unique part is, it just, there has to be something unique about what you're offering. If you're offering me a bottle of water for $5 that looks like all the other bottles of water and there's nothing different inside of it, then I have no reason to buy the bottle of water from you. Now, if you're telling me it's cucumber and lemon infused and it has these minerals and all this other stuff, that's unique, right? If those other bottles of water didn't have that, then I'm going to be like, oh, cool, that makes sense why that bottle of water is $5. And it's, you know, the other ones are three. Like, and at a point, if we're going to use the bottle of water on an urgent problem, let's say, for example, I could have said, I'm drowning in water. I don't want water. But if I'm in the desert dying of thirst, that's an urgent problem and a relevant problem that I want that bottle of water for. So we have relevant, value-driven, urgent, unique, clear. So this is where I believe the copy and the messaging comes into play. Your offer just has to be clear. So there can be things involved as far as like bonuses and different layers and all this stuff, all these things that they're going to get. But again, someone should be able to think, I'm going to give you this and I get X back. So it just has to be a clear thing. It's not like, well, I don't even know what the fuck you want $1,000 for. Mm. It's just like they get it. It's easy, simple for them to get. So we have relevant, value-driven, unique and urgent, clear, and then the tippy top, so the cherry on top, if we're talking about ice cream sundae, is believable. You just have to make a believable offer. And some offers, especially in the health and weight loss space, are not believable for people. Like if you're telling someone you're going to help them lose 50 pounds and you're like over the course of the year or 2 years, like you actually can, but this person is like obese and they've tried tons of things and haven't been able to lose weight. You are so far away from them believing that thing that like you're way better off about your promise being like a small little domino that's going to knock over the rest of these things, right? Like something where they're like, oh yeah, I can, like that sounds like something that I can accomplish. Whereas that's where, again, it's really important about knowing who you're talking to. You want to look at like, oh, if they've tried all of these things and then you come in and you're all of these things that are the same. So they've tried like 5 different keto programs, right? And you come in and say like, this is the keto program for them. And it's not really unique or different. And they're just like, and you're telling them they're going to lose more weight than what the other ones told them and they got no results. They're like, it doesn't make any sense. It's not different. It's not clear. And it's the promise is not there. They already tried all that stuff.
Yeah. What you're talking about there is market sophistication.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially.
To a degree. Where they've seen so many different offers. I think it's Gene Schwartz who talks about market sophistication and like, when you're first to market, you can say certain things and people believe it. Like, oh, okay, not heard that before. I'll buy it. And then the sophistication gets higher, like the marketers or the product providers start stretching the promise or the offer further and further until it gets to a point where you're saying it's not believable anymore because it's been stretched so much and the market's seen so much of the same thing over and over again. They're like, oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, and then the more sophisticated the market, the more important it is to be like unique.
Yeah, something right? They've never heard before. A unique mechanism in what you say or you do versus just keto. Keto is not unique anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, keto is it was unique, right? And the funny thing about unique mechanisms and all that stuff, like we just go through waves and things that were once unique no longer become unique. Years later, they'll become unique again. So that's a perfect example. Like 2 years ago, keto was unique. That was something that was different. It was clearly different. Someone's like, this keto thing, you do this and this happens. No longer. Yeah. But if you were to do like now, you can still make keto unique and you can make keto unique by like keto while still being able to eat carbs. You know, like shit like that. That is unique. That's like, oh, there was this thing, but this is clearly different now. The same thing with like, if it fits your macros, that was a new thing that like flexible dieting, that was like, that became a unique thing, right? Like lose weight while still being able to eat pizza and ice cream. People are like, what?
Yeah. And like, that sounds good. Unique. Yeah.
It no longer became unique.
And surely you can play on it as well, right? So you could do, so even if it was keto, you could call it something like, ketosis priming method, where you like take the thing and then you create a unique name out of it. So so you're like, oh, that sounds different. It's keto, but it's slightly different. I want to know what that thing is. It sounds different to ketosis priming. What the fuck is that? I'm going to click on it or I'm going to explore it.
So with coaching, that's generally one of the easiest ways to find or create your unique mechanism is to put a process around or to name your process of how you do things, whether it's like three phases or whatever, you basically just name it. Because if someone were to look at things and they're like, all right, I tried keto before. Or I worked with the coach and the coach put me on a keto diet and it didn't work. But if you're coming like, we're working together now and you said whatever that name was and you broke that down into like, it's a 4-phase thing or a 3-phase thing. And I'm like, oh yeah, I was missing like phase 2 and 3. Mm. That's why I wasn't able to get that result.
Yeah.
Like that's unique. That's where that's just like the, like to think of them as, call them like proprietary names.
Yeah.
Name a like it's a proprietary process. You just name, trademark names, you know, it's not, they don't have to be trademarked, but that's just like the way of thinking about it. Right. It's like it's
a uniqueness.
Yeah. Uniqueness to how we do things. And so like, there's not many things in the world that are like really innovative and unique. There are a few and they come along and that happens, but the more knowledge you have about a particular topic and just industry in general, you just like, you're able to match things and just like, yeah, that's not different.
But
the thing is, it's knowing how to make that difference to the person that you're talking to. Right.
Yeah.
It's not like you're lying or like, you know, you're just like, this is, because a lot of coaches don't even know, not a lot of coaches, there's tons of coaches who don't even know that they do something in a unique way.
Mm.
Right. So if I'm working, like one of the things I do is I help, like when I started, it was just people could hire me and I would just sell their things. Now I do things kind of on a partnership basis where I sell them for, like we basically partner and we split the business.
Yeah.
So one of the things that like that we're doing is having this conversation where I'm trying to figure out how they do what they do and how they get better results than anybody else. And that's one of the questions that I ask. I'm just like, well, like a lot of people don't know their unique thing. So we're trying to dig into it and they're just like, oh, well, I do this. Like I try to get as finger pointy as I can with that stuff. And I'm just like, well, like what is it that you do that makes you different than everyone else? Like, why are you able to get this result with someone where they've tried all this other stuff before and they haven't been able to get this result? Yeah. They're like, oh, well, it's because I do this. And I was like, sweet, that's different. Like no one else is talking about that shit. So let's talk about that. So you look for that stuff in your business.
Yeah, that's a really good point because it's exactly what you do, because you're preaching at what you do. Because if you look at your style of doing things, I've not seen your style really anywhere else in terms of how you sell what you do. So for anyone listening who doesn't know, and you alluded to it there, because I remember we touched on it previously on the podcast, is you sell your copywriting, but you partner with the business in a profit share and rev share. Yeah. Whereas most copywriters, every single copywriter that I know, in fact, in the world that I personally know, doesn't do it on that basis. They do it on like quantity or retainer.
Yeah.
They don't do a rev share. So you've got your unique mechanism, because I've seen it on your landing page where you're like, I do it this way, which is different to how you've seen it before. I put my neck on the line to ensure that I get results because I'm invested in this process.
And if we look at that from, so I still do some just like flat stuff, and that's basically just with people that we wouldn't like, partnership wouldn't make sense.
Cause that's too small or whatever.
Exactly that. But that's it. That's a way better offer for someone, right? Like someone's going to say like,
I'm like, that's good.
You work with like copywriters and marketers, and most of them are just like, yeah, it's, you know, 10K up front. And people are like, do you have a guarantee? They're like, no, I don't do guarantees. Okay. And then you're like, that kind of fucking sucks. If you're, you know, you're the one trying to hire the service provider, but if someone else comes in and they put a guarantee on, that's way better. Right. They're like, yeah, I'll work with you until it works. That's not like I'm not getting my money back, but that's really reassuring. Like you're going to keep doing this until it works. Like that tells me you're confident. That's a way different offer.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, yeah, you don't pay me anything up front. And then just like, I just take a piece of what we bring in. Like, you know? So yeah, it's just making a better offer. Mm-hmm. We're just removing risk from that person on the other side.
Yeah. This is really good stuff. So we've covered the copywriting, we've covered the offer, and like anyone listening to this will be able to take that away, particularly if you're promoting on social media online, that like you want to be talking about transformations and taking people through a journey. but also like positioning yourself in a unique way, particularly in the fitness space, because it's a highly sophisticated market, probably five on the scale of 1 to 6 right now, because there's just so much marketing noise out there. But as we wrap this up, Joey, what kind of one piece of advice would you like to give to like the personal trainers and coaching when it comes to copywriting or marketing in general? What would be like a little nugget that you'd like to leave people with?
That's a good question.
Take your time.
I think the biggest thing is
buy the book.
Buy the book.
Links in comments. You can get it on Amazon.
In all seriousness, the book it'll be extremely
buy the book. I teed you up beautifully there.
Yeah. But in general, yeah, buy the book. But just more clarity with what you're talking about. Less vague generalities, less fuzziness, just more specific and more clear with what you're saying when you're talking to someone. That's going to help clear up the mechanism. Again, it's like, what's really clear. That's going to, the communication between the two of us, that the creating that like present thing that's going on, like more specific things that are happening, clear, specific things, as opposed to just like, you know, want to lose some weight, like what's happening in their life. So I think clarity. Yeah. That is the overarching theme. Like if you can kind of anything you write or put out, like, was like clear, like, can I get more clear? Can I use more specificity? If you can do it. I'd say that would probably be the bigger thing.
Awesome, man. Really appreciate you taking the time to do this again in between your busy dad schedule. And for anyone listening, we're going to put the link to the book in the show notes. But where can people find out more about you, or where should they head? Where should they connect with you if they wanted to?
Yeah. Book number one, because that'll actually be the most helpful for you. And then the second, I actually have a somewhat small group on Facebook called Leads and Live Chat. And this is essentially where I go through a lot of the conversational sales stuff that we do. So selling through email, selling through social and all that stuff.
So Leads and Live Chat.
Leads and Live Chat. Yeah, I'll send you the link too.
Awesome, man. We'll include that in the show notes. Again, super grateful for you coming on and sharing this knowledge with us. And we'll catch up soon, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. It was my pleasure.
All right, speak soon.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a short review on one of the platforms. And if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so we can connect there. See you next week.